He said, I was called to serve these people, and I'm not running away when the time of their greatest need. I was like, gosh, that right there is the heart of a country director. Like, you have to be called to do it.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, where we take you to the front lines and behind the scenes of our work around the world. I'm your host, Christy Graham, and this week we're talking about our country directors. Our country directors serve all over the world at our country offices. Currently, we have 15 country offices, including places like South Sudan, Cambodia, and Colombia. And most of our country offices, they're extensions from a disaster that we've responded to at one time. Samaritan's Purse provides relief to the people. We help work and strengthen the local church, and they become our partners there, pointing people to Christ. Within our country offices, our country directors play a critical role in leading and carrying out the mission of Samaritan's Purse in that country. First, you're going to hear from Edward Densham, the Senior Director of International Projects. Edward has walked and served with our country directors and seen them in action. Edward has also served as a country director in the past, so he understands what this role is like. And I love hearing his stories from the field because, as I said, he knows them well. He's walked with them. And so you'll love hearing his stories and his perspective.
So country directors are essential for the running of a good office. Another thing that a country director is essential of is there are chief of mission, there are ambassador in that country where their responsibility is to make sure that Samaritan's Purse in that office looks like Samaritan's Purse, feels like Samaritan's Purse, is doing the mission of Samaritan's Purse. So it's very obvious by not just the walls and the buildings and the shirts, but by the work that we're doing. So that's a huge responsibility that people don't often see. They're making a lot of these programmatic decisions. So we have to be sure, and they have to know who Samaritan's Purse is, why we do what we do, how we do it, and not sway from that, because that's very important to us.
Mm-hmm. You personally, you've been a country director at dangerous times. So talk to me about being a leader in the midst of war and chaos. And I know your life was at risk, yet you and your wife stayed, led, and had some pretty unexpected, dangerous things happen. How did the Lord sustain you? Because I know we have country directors in multiple countries that are in danger and threatened. How did you stay grounded, able to lead in the midst of chaos?
So I would say there are two pieces to that question. Two answers to it. The first one is you have to be called to what you're doing. And that's a calling isn't just a feeling or something that happens in church. Like, you have to be, I'm called here to help these people. And the work that we're doing, we were running a hospital. If we left, that hospital wouldn't run. And then they have no hospital, no healthcare. So like we were called to help them. We were called for what we were providing them. A great example of this recently was Robinson Masongo when we were talking about Niger and having to evacuate people in Niger. And Robinson wrote a great email. He said, I was called to serve these people and I'm not running away when the time of their greatest need. I was like, gosh, that right there is the heart of a country director. Like, you have to be called to do it. The second piece is that the work that you're doing is so important, is so vital, and the people need it. And how do you leave them when what you're providing is so necessary for their sustainability, for their lives? I mean, how do you look at a young mother and say, we don't feel safe here in this condition that you find yourself in. We're going to fly back to Nairobi and be safe. And sorry that your sick child is not going to get any health care. I mean, if you're in the business and you're living there, you can't do that. It sounds like, you know, people are like, oh, you must have been so brave and so courageous. Like, no, it wasn't even a decision. It's not a decision. You can't leave. How do you leave these people to suffer when you have a solution that will help them in their suffering just because you're scared for your life?
As you're saying, you become wherever you are and you serve and suffer with them. So I guess talk to me about, how do you build relationships? How do you see our country directors today get to know the people they're serving?
I think the relationships are really important. I'm just thinking to my trip to South Sudan recently. We have a young, brand new country director, Christian Bester, and it's so obvious in Christian the way he does things and interacts with people that he's looking to share the gospel in every situation. I mean, he's preaching every time he goes somewhere, and he really cares about the people. He's stopping and he's talking to the beneficiaries. He's caring for them. He's talking to the staff. I mean, he spent a lot of time talking to the national staff that were up there. He understands the value of those relationships, and he never misses an opportunity to strengthen a relationship that he has or start a new relationship. Mm-hmm. Every time he has an interaction, it's not a casual interaction. It's very deliberate. I want to take this relationship another step, a little bit deeper, a little bit more. Like every time he has a conversation with someone, I was really impressed with that.
And I know, you know, Samaritan's Purse, we work with the local church all over the world. That's how we can respond and serve in a way that impacts the community, I guess, in the way that they need it. Because we work with people that know and love and serve long-term. But we come in, and so I guess thinking about the country offices all over the world, how are they valuable to Samaritan's Purse?
So the first thing I would say is that the country offices are the hands and feet of the organization. I mean, they are, I always talk to them about, you are where the rubber meets the road. And our field staff, our country offices, are where the rubber meets the road. They're there every day. They are the interaction. And the country director is really important because he has to sustain that. You know, the biggest fear I have is that our passion for the gospel and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ doesn't make it out of IHQ and all the way to where the hands and feet are actually impacting people. That's a huge focus for us to make sure that happens. So we have to be really deliberate with our country directors that they understand the mission. They're the people helping share the gospel, which is what Samaritan's Purse wants to do in the field offices. They're where we learn new techniques, we learn new things, we develop things, we become good at feeding programs, we become good at caring for health and nutrition people. And when we have a disaster, those are always invaluable because we've gained experience. We've gained staff who have experience in this. And when we go to a disaster, we can take them with us or have them there. And we're better at what we're doing. We're the Good Samaritan walking down the road. And we want to be as best prepared as we can when we find that person in the ditch to go across and help them. And that's what country offices, a large part, do. They help develop these programs. They develop relationships.
And I know you have traveled and walked alongside our country directors. You've watched them in action. And I know it's probably hard to pick one story, but maybe can you even take me to a couple country offices, introduce us to a couple country directors, and maybe how they impacted you watching them serve?
We have some very special country directors that have different unique ways they've come up. For example, one is, I've already mentioned, Robinson Musongo. Robinson worked his way up in the Kenya office's national staff. And then when we had a vacancy in Niger, he stuck his hand up and was willing to take himself and his family halfway across Africa to be the country director. So that's fascinating to me because he started as a national staff and grew and developed. And we worked with him like what I was talking about happens in country offices. And then suddenly he's our guy that we moved to Niger, and he's doing a fantastic job in Niger running an office in a fairly difficult, I mean, he's just led it through a coup, and he's still strong and stuff's still happening well. So I think that's a really cool story.
Every single one of our country directors are incredible. They are called by God and truly carry the gospel mission of Samaritan's Purse on the front lines. Asking Edward to highlight a few was an impossible question because he wanted to talk about every single one. But here's what he said about Alex in Kenya.
Alex is a fascinating country director. He worked his way up to country director. And then we actually brought him here to headquarters. And then after 3 or 4 years here, he said, you know, my heart's really in Kenya. I'd like to go back to Kenya and be the country director. And we had an opening. And he's been back. And he's our longest serving country director that we have. I think he's on 26 years now. So He really has served a long time. He's seen a lot of stuff. But Alex has a passion for the doctors that go to the World Medical Mission hospitals. Alex has broken into some far remote corners where people just don't want to go through relationships with the church and through partners that he's met there and just done some amazing work. And he's done what I think is the heart of the Samaritan. We don't go to the popular big places. We do sometimes because we're very, very good at it with disaster response. But in our field offices, they're looking for who are the people in the ditch that everyone else has walked by and left, and actually we can cross that ditch, we can have compassion and cross the ditch, and we can help them. And if we don't help them, no one else is going to help them. And if we don't help build up that church, no one else is going to help build up the church or encourage the pastor. So he's found these great little niches and opportunities, and he's just been very faithful and diligent. And I think one day in heaven we'll see a huge impact for the work that he's helped to lead.
Alex recently visited our international headquarters. While he was here, I was able to talk with him and hear his heart for the work in his home country.
It's a real privilege because I'm serving in my nation. I'm serving the people, you know, of my home country. But at the same time, representing Samaritan's Purse, bringing hope to them, bringing encouragement to them. Most of the people living in much of Kenya are really poor, struggle for the basics of life. Many don't have toilets in their homes. Many struggle to get clean water that they can use. Ladies, either water for cooking or for drinking in their families, they have to walk such a long distance. So it's a real joy to be able to assist in that way. And it's been a real privilege to get to know my country better. In each project, we have a ministry component. And I will often do that directly. And that could be as simple as sharing a devotion on stewardship, good stewardship. So if it's for the good farmers, encouraging them why they need to be good stewards and they need to be faithful, and linking that to parables or stories of stewardship in the Bible and sharing the gospel. The reason we are serving or doing the work that we do is because of God. We gain an opportunity to share that. When people come to faith and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we can connect them to the church. Because we may be in an area for 2 or 3 years, but we will leave. The church will remain.
We'll stay as long as there's work and as long as we need to be there, but we will eventually leave and the church remains. And that's why we always want to point people to the local church. So thank you for sharing that. Can you maybe tell us, introduce us to some of the people and what you've seen God do over the past year or even just through many of your years? Is there anything that sticks out that you would be able to share with us?
I mentioned earlier that fetching water for a home, you can turn on your tap and you have water right there. Mm-hmm. You know, you may maybe walk out of your house and there's a tap, you know, with running water that you can fetch your water. But when you have to walk a kilometer, the time, you know, and carrying, you know, about 20 kilograms, you know, it's a big weight. Mm-hmm. And listening and seeing a lady who struggling in terms of how much time she spent, how far she had to go and walk, you know, to fetch her water. And even if she fetched the water and brought it back, it's dirty water, it's brown water. But we've installed a biostand water filter in her home. So when she brings back the water, then she can pour it into that and the water quality is significantly better. Her children are healthier. But just to see that lady and see, she was so bright, she was so appreciative, you know, of how much it's made a difference. She loved the Lord and she was actively working with other people in her community. So that's one lady that I remember, and you could see that the project has made a big difference in her life. Yeah.
How do you not get overwhelmed? Because when you see needs all around, and as just as you're talking, I mean, yeah, the heat for these people having to collect water that's going to make their kids sick with that. So I just think you have even more needs around you. So how do you stay, you know, grounded, stay rooted in the Lord?
I try and remind myself that God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. You know, He knows all these needs. When I'm speaking with a team, I try and remind them that God orchestrates everything, you know, from the giver, the people that give to Samaritan's Purse, our leadership that makes decision on how to allocate that money, us who receive the money and the people that are doing the work. God is above all of this. So to try and just remain faithful in doing, you know, there are days that I get overwhelmed and get discouraged. But I think about Jesus. I think about the time that He spent on this earth. I think about how selective He was. He didn't meet all the needs. You know, He didn't meet with everyone. There are certain times He just wanted to be by Himself. So being reminded that we don't have to do it all, you know, and that just trusting that God in His sovereignty will meet and move. And just seeing some of these people who have so little, some of them are so cheerful. Some of them are so appreciative. And in his sovereignty and in His mercy and in His love, God will meet the needs of the people.
I love hearing that story about this woman and how we're able to help her get clean water. But I also love hearing from our leadership. He's not just in an office making orders. He's literally walking with the people that we are loving and serving. And so it's so encouraging to hear our country directors as they come to visit, hear what they're seeing on the ground. Next, Edward talked about Barry Jessen, the country director for our Cambodia office.
So Barry is fascinating in terms of what he's been able to achieve in Cambodia, because there is a lot of water in Cambodia, but it's all stinky, swampy, nasty water. So he's taken these wells, and the well provides clean water, and that's wonderful. And then the clean water makes people not sick, so they have more time, and make more time for business, more time for work. So then he's worked on the business side, and he helped them with a rice mill. Then he helped them with generate a seed bank for this. So, and when you go back to that community, I did this 4 or 5 years ago. When you go to the community and you look around, you're like, this is fascinating. Like, this person has a hair salon here, and this person has a bakery. Like, where did that come from? How's that related to water? But it is in Barry's vision of what he was trying to do. He wasn't just providing clean water. It was what the clean water could then step onto and lead to. And those, we actually left that community because they were on their feet. Their work, everything was going really well. And we left and moved to a different community. He's helped build the schools. He's helped the clean water. He's helped with nutrition. He's helped with some agriculture. He's helped with livestock. And the church is alive and thriving. And now he's moving on to another area. Mm-hmm. They're the corners and the edges of Cambodia. Mm-hmm. Very big impact on the trafficking that goes on there. I mean, Barry, is his strategy is fascinating, because he's not looking at trying to solve the trafficking issue. He's looking at trying to prevent trafficking even being an option that a family has to consider for survival. So he's going all the way back to the roots, and like, people don't want to send their children to Thailand as slaves. They want to keep them. What is stopping them keeping them? Oh, it's these factors. Let's address those factors.
Like Edward said, you have to be called to serve in this role. This isn't a job. This is a calling. And many of our country directors, like Barry, they never have even pictured themselves in this leadership role. They've served in many different capacities, wearing many different hats, and many in different countries. But I love how the Lord guided Barry to work here, and he has fallen in love with Cambodia and the people. And he shared a scripture what impacted him in this season as country director. Here's Barry calling in from Cambodia.
I think probably the most impacting thing, scripture, which is 1 Samuel 7:12, is where the Israelites set up the Ebenezer, the memorial, and it reminds them of what God has done. And they say, thus far, God has been good to us. Years ago, we paraphrased that to, so far, so good. You know, God's been good this far, so we're just going to keep going. Like, being a country director is not, I mean, it's not something I ever wanted to do. It's where I ended up because this is what God asked us to do, and I love it. It's such a privilege. God surrounds you with such great challenge and such great people, and you have the honor of being trusted from both ends of the spectrum. The people in the field will wake up every morning and ride 2 hours on their moto in the sun and the mud because they believe you've heard from God. And the people at the other end in IHQ will trust you with resources and energy because they believe you've heard from God. It's such a privilege. It is a privilege of a job, great responsibility. But I can't pinch myself. Like, how did I get this job?
I love how Barry said that country director is something that I never wanted to do. And that's often what you hear. Our directors are humble. They didn't have this aspiration to lead a country office, but they ended up here because it's what God asked them to do. And they love serving their people. And many of them say it's such a privilege. Despite the challenges and the hardships, they consider it a joy to serve. Barry told us a story about a couple who came to faith in Christ through our programming.
I love this one because we have so many that are Jesus miraculously healing people, and I love those. But this has got to do with people's behavior, which is often harder to heal. A couple were like at the brink of divorce. They were arguing, fighting. There was domestic violence. There was alcohol, and the maternal health team went out, and she opened up to them. They encouraged her. They shared the love of God with her. They shared biblical wisdom with her. And her husband came around as well. And so they spent time with them. And the couple said this. They said, we felt a call to Jesus. And like, that's just fantastic. So they gave their life to Christ. But the best part was that in over a 2-week period, all the yelling stopped, all the violence stopped, the alcohol stopped, the marriage is on track because Jesus changes lives.
I love hearing this radical transformation, and I hope and pray that this change in this couple will have a ripple effect in the community as people watched this hardness and difficulty become peaceful. I love how Jesus can change lives. Edward Denchem served as country director in our Sudan office, which is now part of South Sudan. And he faced many dangerous situations while he lived there. But he shared a story with me about a time where he had to flee from a bombing. The response of the people in the community deeply impacted him, and you can see how our country directors truly become a part of their community.
I clearly remember one day there had been a bombing, and so we had gone to that bomb site to look and make sure there wasn't someone that was injured by that bomb, and then the plane turned around and was coming back, and I remember we ran to these caves and got in it, and that's where there were some old ladies in that cave that had probably spent most of the morning in that cave. And when they saw us, they came out of the cave. They pushed us to the very back of the cave and they got in. And that was so humbling and difficult because you're like, wait, first of all, you're old ladies. I should be protecting mm-hmm. you. I think it really impacted me in a humility way, just the sacrifices that they were willing to make for me. I thought I was making sacrifices to come and help them. And I realized, no, they're making sacrifices for me. They're trying to help me. They're trying to protect me. And I think that has impacted me and the rest of my life. I've had some experiences in my life where I've had to stand up and face something and realize, okay, that's what God's called you to do. And you do need to be brave and courageous. You need to trust the word of God when he says that he has you in his hands. It doesn't mean that he's always going to protect your life. So one day you might lose your life in those situations, but it doesn't matter. You're still in God's hands. You're in his path, and he knows where he's walking to you. And I feel like I learned through that situation that my job is to be faithful to what he's called me to do and not to worry about things or worry about if he's called me to do something, I need to do it and let him be in charge of the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. What you were saying reminded me. I was reading Isaiah today, and 33:6 says, "And he will be your security and stability of your times, a treasure of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is your treasure." And I find the more country directors and even just our field staff, people that live, serve, and become, you know, brothers and sisters with the people they're serving, as you just talked about, and when you're relying on the Lord and you have to, he does become their security, and there's just something different about them. So that's why I wanted to ask, and I guess, are there scriptures, are there instances of that where the Lord has been your security and stability? And I guess, how do you carry that into daily life?
I think God sometimes puts you through a hard situation because he's helping turn you into his instrument, and mm-hmm. he's going to use you to help people in similar situations in the future. And that's why he made you like, why did I have to walk through that? Well, you had to walk through it because now you know what it feels like. You've been there. You mm-hmm. know what you have to do, and you can help other people in those situations. So I think that's how it applies to me. I know that some of the situations I've been through in my life, I still understand why did I have to have that happen to me? And yet I have clearly seen after that, I love going back to the story of Joseph because he's like, well, why did Joseph have to be beat up by his brothers and put in a cave and sold to slavery and then blamed for something he didn't do? And finally, when you get to the end of the story, you're like, oh, that was all part of God's plan. And if Joseph hadn't been through all those mm-hmm. things, he wouldn't be able to do the last part of God's plan for his life when he had it. So they're all important steps that we go through.
So how can we be praying for all of our country offices and our country directors?
I think we can be praying for a number of things. One is realizing that these country directors carry a lot of responsibility. It's a big deal to be a country director and to carry the weight of that. So I think we can pray for them, number one, that they would stay strong and focused on the gospel, that their spiritual lives would stay strong. Without a good spiritual life, it's going to be very hard for them to do the other things. Mm-hmm. I would definitely always, always pray for their spouses mm-hmm. because their spouses are unseen, unheard, and yet they're a very crucial part to what happens. And I just pray that God would continue to guide them, give them wisdom, and lead them into the people that he wants us to meet. You know, we always tell them this when they're coming into their budget time, you know, God already knows where the ditches are and who's in that ditch. Mm. you need to prayerfully consider where that ditch is and have God guide you to where that ditch is.
As you can see, there's so many ways to pray for our country directors. And I love how Edward talked about pray for wisdom, but pray that the gospel stays the focus. And that is what Samaritan's Purse strives to do everywhere we are around the world. Our country directors know that the gospel is the main priority. Yes, we want to help people. They want to shepherd their staff, but they want to make sure that the gospel is at the center of everything that they do. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." And that is what all of our leaders, every time I ask them, how can we be praying? They pray for wisdom. They want the discernment through Jesus Christ so that they can glorify Him. Thank you again for joining us today. I hope that this helped you to pray for our many country offices and directors all over the world as they serve in Jesus' name. Thank you, and God bless you.